Triple M, it's the night shift across the land, across the Triple M radio network, 70 plus radio stations. Great to have your company. Welcome to a brand new day. It's Tuesday, the 20th of September. Pat Panetta filling in for Luke Boner. Now, nearly 500 dignitaries from around the world descended on London to pay their respects to the monarch alongside members of the royal family in one of the largest diplomatic moments of the century. And our man live from the UK joins us again on the night shift, and it's Clint Dreiberg. Hi there, Clint.
Good to be with you again, Pat. And yes, as we speak, the most private part of the day's events and the most intriguing part of what's been going on for the last few days, few weeks, 10 days since the Queen has passed. It's the private family service that's going on right now.
Yes.
In St. George's Chapel. The Queen will be buried there at the King George VI Memorial Chapel, which is inside the church, and she'll be alongside her late husband, the Duke of Edinburgh. Mm. Now, no one is present for this service. There's no cameras. There's no media. It's just the royal family and the Queen there as we speak. And I wonder if we'll get to hear about what happened in there. Perhaps they'll give us a little insight. I think as the days have gone on the last 10 days, we've seen statements made that we never thought would be made. We've seen the royal family act in certain ways that broke protocol a little. Things like the royal family or the King himself allowing Harry, who decided not to be part of the senior ranks of the royal family a year or so ago. He was allowed to march wearing his military regalia, which he wouldn't have been able to do if it wasn't for the King to say so, and things like that. And statements have been said from various members of the family, which we wouldn't have ordinarily heard from. So I'm feeling there might be a chance we're going to get an insight into what's that, going on inside that chapel
normally private. And it's tradition that kings and queens are buried in a private ceremony in that chapel in Windsor, but the Queen Elizabeth chose to have a send-off at Westminster Abbey because she wanted to include everybody from all walks of life, and also Westminster Abbey is a very special place to her, so a little different to what tradition normally is for the death of a king or a queen.
Yeah, I mean, she was married there and she had the coronation there. She was crowned there. It's, in fact, probably, when you look at it, it's quite an amazing building. I mean, it's so huge to fit 2,000 people in there, plus the choir, plus all the television cameras. You know, that place was built well before media was even conceived.
Wow.
And the fact today they were able to get in there and capture every angle, every moment, every petal on a flower on top of the coffin, and every shining bit of regalia, and every face, and every attendee. It was quite amazing to think that. And, you know, of course, Prince Charles and Diana, they had their wedding at St. Paul's, because that was a different occasion. But, of course, Diana had her funeral at Westminster Abbey too. We all remember the pictures of that.
And it's literally 1,000 years old, I think, Westminster Abbey. So, as you say, a great history and 1,000 years old. And the crowds that we've seen there over the last 10 days now starting to subside. So a little quieter, and most people are heading home?
Definitely a lot quieter from my vantage point walking the streets. And again, back to the old British way of life. They just immediately clean up and restore order. I mean, they removed the traffic lights in inner city London last night, Pat. They literally took them out of the ground, unscrewed them. And you probably didn't think about that watching the procession today, but you didn't see a traffic light anywhere because they removed them all. They wanted, you know, the world to see London in all its glory. And so the traffic lights have been reinstalled as we speak. The streets have been cleaned. It'll all be back to normal, if not overnight, well and truly by the morning. And the crowds that lined the mall and where I was right at the front of Buckingham Palace, they were all very orderly leaving. We had to wait a good 45 minutes before we were allowed out because of various road closures and dignitaries going up and down the street. But it was crazy to be so close to what was going on. And I met a few people along the mall who were there as well. And I think you've got some audio from a few people that I met, including Leon.
My mum passed away in 2019 and she was a massive fan of the Royals. So I've laid flowers on her behalf. I know if she was here today, she would be down here today herself, regardless. So it was on her behalf. And also the it's amazing to see this pageantry. It's,
well, you were the front row to history.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I can't believe the location. I got the spot. I got to see this, and it's just what Britain is about. It's British pride through and through. We have not seen pageantry like this for a very, very long time, aside from the Jubilee. So yeah, it was on behalf of my mum and to be part of history.
Clint, there, as you say, that was Leon, who obviously had a very good spot and couldn't believe what he was part of. So it's great that you met so many people. I know there's Leon and others. And
Sheena was another one, and she was dressed up in the Union Jack patch. She was there. She had flowers in her hand, and she'd obviously spent the night out sleeping there.
Yes.
I think she'd come from Scotland, and she was there all night. She'd had a bit of a little celebratory party with her friends throughout the night to stay awake, and she was so proud of her front row seat that she got today.
I had a front row seat to history, and I really can't get over it. Just surreal, absolutely surreal.
Describe what happened today.
So today we just saw every part of the armed, of the Queen's Army, everybody coming together. People were just so happy, happier than we've seen them for a long time. And to see the Queen's coffin go past was just unbelievable. And I'm really, really glad to have seen it.
Why was she so special?
She was really special because she was a beautiful, colourful lady. She was a strong woman with the best work ethic, and she just proved to everybody that she did what she was asked to do when she was 21. She just was amazing.
Isn't that wonderful? I think you said Sheena there, and she's sort of really articulating how so many people feel about Queen Elizabeth. You know, she was dedicated to her service to her country, and back at even as a 21-year-old, you know, keep calm and carry on with the stiff upper lip, and she just served that role for 70-plus years, Clint.
There's one more person, Pat, I want you to hear from. I met all loads of people with different flags from every country, Canadians and American, who had to fast-track her passport just to be there. She flew in on the weekend. Extraordinary stories like that. I didn't see any Aussies in particular, I got to say. I did see a Kiwi who now lives in the UK, and she was very proud to be there, had been camping out for a couple of days. But I came across Mark, and what intrigued me about Mark, because he had the whole thing been set up for quite some time by the looks of it, and he even had his dog with him. So I decided to ask Mark why he was there.
It was just very emotional to see not just the Queen in the coffin, but all the representatives that were with her, all the different armed services, all the police doing such an amazing job. Just the whole thing's been quite overwhelming, and yeah, like I say, very emotional, very, very proud to have seen it all, very happy that I've come down with my family and my two young children have seen it with me.
How far have you come from?
We haven't come from that far. We've come from North Wales. We came on Saturday morning. We got up at 4:30, came down. We did the Langan State. We queued up for that for about 10-12 hours.
When you say you didn't do much, you did a lot.
We've done a lot, yeah. We went to see the flowers yesterday.
Was it a duty for you to do this?
No, I wouldn't say a duty, just more of a calling, something that had to be done. The right thing to do.
Another great grab there, Mark. And that's an interesting question about the duty there, Clint. I know what you're getting at there, that people feel obliged to, you know, pay their respects to this person who's been a constant presence in our lives amongst all the turmoil and change, especially in 70 years. You feel a duty to go there and bow your head and sort of say thanks.
Yeah, and a lot of people were like that. Mark, you know, he says he didn't do much. He drove 5.5 hours with two kids in the back and a dog, you know, to see the Queen standing for 10 hours to see the coffin and then sleeping out for another two nights. That's not nothing, you know, do that for nothing. And to think that it was just something that you needed to do, it's an extraordinary way of thinking. And I don't know whether this way of thinking will carry on. I mean, me speaking as a proud Aussie,
yes.
I don't know whether we'll feel the same way about this lovely Queen that we've had for 70 years for the next monarch. I just don't know whether that sense of pride will be there.
Yes, I don't think so. And sort of criticism of King Charles, but she was of a certain era and quite unique. And really, to replicate the love and the sort of the feelings around Queen Elizabeth would be very hard to do in today's world. And Prince Charles has a history. She was sort of, correct in all her ways, if you know what I mean, sort of untouched by any controversy, Queen Elizabeth, where Prince Charles, is not in the same situation as his mother was.
No, totally, Pat. And I mean, you're absolutely right. The world kind of grew around Queen Elizabeth over the last 70 years. A lot has changed during her reign, but she was always the same fashion, the same look, the same things we knew about her. The gorgeous moment, one of the gorgeous moments at the end of her journey to Windsor today, seeing Emma, the pony, brought out one of her horses to say goodbye to her along the way to Windsor.
Oh,
and then two of the remaining corgis that she was so very known for, Sandy and Mick, they were there. The last two corgis of the Queen's were standing at the gates of Windsor as she went to her final resting place. Things like that. You know, we all know the Queen for these things, and those things never changed. The world did change around her.
That's right.
She was constant. She was always there. So I think you're absolutely right. Prince Charles is trying to tell us, that we need to be better with the planet and we need to do this and we need to do that. He's going to
be sort of polarizing at times. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Exactly.
And you waited in line. We spoke to Mark and others who have waited. You've done a lot of waiting in line and sort of been very patient and part of it all. So a special time for you too, Clint. So you've done a wonderful job for us and other radio stations. Well done.
It's great to have been here. Like I said, it's not a duty of mine, but I knew I was going to be at something fantastic, and the last few days has been. So it's been great to talk to you, Pat.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for your time. Live there from London, as the streets start to sort of dissipate now and it's a bit quieter after hundreds of thousands of people in London and in that precinct, Westminster Abbey, over the last 10 days. Thank you, Clint Dreeberg, live from the UK, reporting on Queen Elizabeth II's funeral, the funeral of the century. Now, we've had a great morning so far, so to those radio stations who now leave us for your local breakfast show, have a wonderful day. Thanks for being here. We'll see you back at midnight. And for those sticking around, there's more to come right after this, Triple M.